the hope of a paradise restored. Hope's going to be our theme today. And I don't know how many of you are sports fans, but this is the time of year when so many teams are done, or their season isn't done, but they're done anyway, if you know what I mean. This is the time of year when sports fans, about all they have is hope. The odds of the Aggies, for example, making it into college football's playoffs are very, very low. Somebody really big, some real changes would have to happen. The odds of the Astros winning the 2021 World Series have been pegged at 250-1. And the odds of the Texans winning the Super Bowl next year, LOL. Ha, ha, ha. But how about a different kind of hope? What do you think the odds are that we'll see a COVID-19 vaccine and a return to normal life in 2021? Where these aren't needed anymore. They say it's a pretty high percentage. And we can say, we hope so. Hope. It's a lens through which we look at our circumstances today as we keep tomorrow in our heart. It's believing that there's something more, there's something beyond. It's a fuel to keep us going when the present circumstances are tough. It sustains us. It helps us even to change or to just keep on keeping on through life. Ever thought about where hope comes from? And why? Why does it seem to be that it's so important to us as human beings? So much so that the book of Proverbs says a hope deferred makes the heart sick. Or we hear in today's gospel or epistle reading, that it sounds an awful lot like what we're going through here in our age. The whole creation has been groaning in this present time. Isn't that what it's felt like this past year? Just about the longest year ever. We're groaning. We're getting through, groaning inwardly as we wait. It describes here waiting for our adoption of sonship. But we know what that's like, to groan, to struggle, to hang on while we're waiting. And God knows it too. And that's why this precious gift, the gift that 1 Corinthians 13 says is one of the top three, faith, hope, and love. This gift of hope is what we want to talk about today. It's really been, I think, part of our Judeo-Christian tradition since the very beginning. It's mixed into a lot of things. It talks about freedom, talks about security. It talks about, well, promises that we have. If I was going to try to boil it all down to one phrase, I would say it's something you have, or it's something you know that assures you the future will be better. Something you have or something you know that assures us the future will be better. We're going to see that in Mary's case. We're going to see that hopefully in our case. But from today's epistle reading, we read this. We let the Bible guide us. In this hope, we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. I can't see Jesus yet. Neither can you. I can't see heaven yet. None of us can. But I know, and you know, God, and we know his word are trustworthy. As the angel said to Mary, no word of God will ever fail. So we have hope. We have hope because of Jesus, and we have hope that heaven is ahead of us. When you and I, when we write our story, when we think of what the future might be like for us, it's just possible that the difference of how you and I look at our future is going to be very much shaped on our experience in the past or the hope that we have for that future. What I mean by that is that this dimension of what we go through in time, if we've time and time again hoped for something and we haven't gotten it, time after time we've prayed for something, but we haven't gotten it, or it didn't seem like we got that answer, then over time our ability to have and sustain hope diminishes, doesn't it? I prayed for so long for their marriage to be saved, and it didn't work. I prayed for so long for the cancer to go away. I asked God over and over. And it can very well be that our sense of the future is colored, it is full of this kind of despair that the epistle talked about, this groaning, this just hanging on, because our hope is we can't see it. And that's why it's so wonderful that God gives us the tools. He gives us his word as a wonderful gift to help us see. Now, Mary was in every way like you and I today. She was limited in her understanding of what she could see and understand. She couldn't see heaven. She couldn't see all the dots connected together of God's salvation plan, so what God was weaving and achieving. She could see, though, this angel in front of her and was just wondering, oh my gosh, what's happening? She could also hear the angel's statements. And I pray we hear them too. Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. To Mary, he said, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne. With the exception of the phrase in there about Mary conceiving Jesus, have you ever thought of all those words being spoken to you? Being spoken to all of us as children of God, as ones whom God so loved. Do not be afraid. You found favor with God. Grace, we didn't deserve it. We never earned it. God didn't have to give it to us, but he gives that favor, that grace, that peace to us. He sends his son Jesus for us. And he is great in our lives, the greatest blessing, the greatest assurance, the greatest strength, the greatest stability we will ever have. Now, Mary had faith. She was limited, though, limited like you and I are in her perspective. She didn't have the perspective of the angel who had already gotten to see all this unfold outside of time. She only had the perspective of a young woman, perhaps even a teenager, who trusted God but had never ever heard of a baby from heaven ending up inside someone's womb. So Mary had a question. She had faith, but she had a question. How will this be since I'm a virgin? I hope from today's scripture we can hear that it is all right for us to have faith, but also have questions. God, how will this be? When will it get better? And we are so much better. We are so much more likely to be comforted and strengthened when we bring those questions to him rather than let those questions pull us away from him and towards despair. We have faith and we have questions. There have been times when it seems like prayer hasn't been answered. We had looked last week at Zechariah and Elizabeth, faithful followers of God, servants of God, who, despite their prayers, had gone all the way into their old age without a child for which they had prayed for. It's a truth that the professor, Dr. Andy Lester, a Baylor professor who wrote a book about hope while he was dying, fighting the cancer that ultimately took his life. Dr. Lester wrote this when he talked about these tough times. We have tough things happen to us. It gets harder to have hope. If your past is full of pain and broken promises and prayers that didn't get answered in a way and timing you wanted, it gets a lot harder to have hope. It can be hard to stay hopeful and positive. Can you relate to that? And yet we can have hope. The angel reminded Mary that it is Almighty God who makes the promise. And so we can have hope because God always keeps his promises. It may not be in the timing that we think. It may not be in the way that we think. But God has always kept his promises. God promised to solve sin. And he sent Jesus to live and to die for us. God promised to overcome death. And he had Jesus rise again from the dead to prove that to us, that that gift of overcoming and resurrection would be ours as well. When I was training to be a chaplain and we read that book by Dr. Lester, we also then had an assignment. Might be an interesting one for you to consider this week. I had to write a eulogy. We were assigned to write the speech, the personal remembrance that we hoped someone might give at the time of our death or our funeral. It represented what I hoped would happen with the years that I had left on this earth. And I reread it getting ready for today's message. And it was rather sobering to reread something that you had written 4 years ago and to look at what had been accomplished, what had been left undone, what's still ahead. And before I tell you what was in there, I think it's worth noting that absolutely none of us, myself, none of you, have a guarantee of tomorrow. Any one of us could go to sleep tonight and it would be our last night on this earth. We have no guarantee of this earthly life, but we have an assurance, an absolute guarantee of Jesus's love for us and of his loving sacrifice on the cross. So we have a promised, assured, guaranteed place in heaven when this life is over. Our eternity is secure 100%. As the angel told Mary, we too can be reassured. No word from God will ever fail. With that sureness about our eternity, now let's look at today. Let's look at every day with hope-filled confidence. Let's respond like Mary and declare with our faith and our hope, I'm the Lord's servant. I'm your servant, Lord. And Mary, we can answer, she answered, can be our answer. May your word to me be fulfilled. In other words, we can say, God has secured my future, and I can fully live in the present. I can be fully alive, fully free, full of hope, no matter the circumstances, because I have his full assurance. You and I can wake up every single day and go, okay, I have another day, a day when I can love someone, a day when I can bless someone, a day when I can serve someone. Do we have some bills to pay? Sure. Do we have some necessary steps to take? Do we have to wear these masks for a little while longer at least? Yeah, it's all true. But as God said in his word to St. Paul, I consider that our present struggles or suffering is not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed. No word from God will ever fail you. Have hope, my friends. Your eternity is secure. Your opportunity this day is clear. I have another day to love someone, to bless someone, to serve someone. God's word may never fail. May we also say, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Amen.